Hello and welcome to the Aftershocks podcast. I'm Jay Hips.
And I'm Robert Jonas.
And we're coming to you from Buckshaw Stadium after the Earthquakes' 11th consecutive match without a victory. Yeah, we sound a little too chipper. I think it's just sort of punch drunk euphoria or something. But anyway, 2-1 loss to the Colorado Rapids after going up 1-0, and kind of a crazy match tonight.
Yeah, there was definitely a very strong influence by the fellas in red tonight, and I don't mean the burgundy of Colorado, but the really stinking red of the referees.
There were a number of spirited "ref you suck" chants.
Yeah, that was the loudest I heard tonight. You know, the I think Quakes dodged a bullet early when Bobby Burling was not a judge to have been the last man to on a foul against Caleb Folan, or it wasn't called as a foul, but it certainly looked like a foul. But the referee made up for that, if you will, by awarding a penalty on a unfortunate, I think, by the book handball. It's sort of a silly kind of play, but it happens where, you know, your trailing hand gets in the way of a ball. I think Jason Hernandez is familiar with that kind of play from the game at Philly earlier this year.
Yes, so that was my exact comment in the press box when that happened was, oh, it's just like, you know, the handball called against Jason Hernandez in Philly. I think, to me, it's pretty clear cut. They talk about the difference between ball to hand and hand to ball. And this very much looked to me to be the ball ran into his hand, and, you know, unless you're going to have your defenders all be double amputees, you know, right. The arms have to be somewhere.
I dare any of our listeners to try to slide at that speed and not have a hand trailing you unless you want to have your head thump on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't that upset about the call at the time, you know, and I saw the replay, and yes, it clearly does hit his hand. You know, it is, you know, the questionable whether it's hand to ball or ball to hand, I guess you could argue, but, you know, Quakes gave up a lead, which I think is something that, you know, needs to be acknowledged, you know, again. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. They've lost, or they've been winless in 11, and I believe it's 4 of those games they were leading and failed to secure all 3 points, you know. So it's, you know, part of it's dumb luck, part of it's just not getting it done on defense as well.
Yeah, that whole stat about the team winning first in MLS getting a result is really getting all shot to hell because of this.
Quakes are trying to even it out a bit, I guess.
Yeah.
The other obviously big moment of this game was the straight red card to Sam Cronin on the tackle against Pablo Mastroianni. And
yes, which was adjudged to be officially, I see on the score sheet here, serious foul play.
Serious foul play. Yeah. Wasn't that the sequel to that Goldie Hawn movie?
Yeah, with Chevy Chase.
Yeah, exactly. That was a good one. I don't remember the sequel so much, but apparently Sam Cronin was adjudged to be a member of part of that cast. Tough call. I saw it live. I saw it close enough to wonder why a red card. You know, maybe a yellow card, and you know, maybe Pablo's embellishing a little bit there. I'd have to look at the replays more, but the Quakes were doing all right. I mean, they gave up the lead, you know, but they were hanging with this team. They were holding possession quite well. I thought Kari Stevenson, while he was lined up as the second forward, was hanging back enough, you know, almost playing as that third midfielder, and it was working effectively. I mean, you know, the Quakes sort of flooded the midfield, and Bobby Convey as well was floating in there quite often, and that was a great way to neutralize what Larenowitz and Mascherini were doing. You know, ironically, those two were responsible for the win tonight. But
right.
To that point, they did what they needed to do.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, Pablo in particular, and this is, you know, something I suppose you have to give him credit for, but according to one of our cohorts in the press box who watched the replay of the handball call, apparently Pablo, by screaming at the AR, kind of, you know, encouraged him, shall we say, to raise his flag on that particular handball. And
well, he didn't raise it until he was conferred with. And it's not clear whether the side referee was going to do that. But yeah, Pablo went over there and got in his face. And you know, that's what players do. I mean, they got to... You know, if they think they can get a referee to call something their way, then by all means, they need to do that. I mean, the Quakes were equally guilty of yelling at the refs at time. In fact, I think it was late in the game when John Bush really let the ref have it for a foul on Brad Ring. Mm. And the referee somehow dished out three straight yellow cards to Colorado after that.
Right.
You know, too little too late in a sense. You know. You have to defend your team. Pablo is definitely the vocal leader of that team, and he earned them a penalty kick by making that conversation happen. Because I don't think the center ref had any intention of doing that. Yeah. There's no look to the side referee until things kind of cooled down and people were expecting the corner kick to come. And suddenly, bam, you're pointing to the spot. So. You know, we mentioned Mastroianni. Larenowitz won the game for them. You know, I think John Bush had it described perfectly. We'll have that in our post game interviews. You know, Jeff hits a ball hard, hits it straight, and if you're defending that, you need to stay in your wall and give your goalkeeper as much help as possible. And I'm still not sure what Simon Dawkins was doing on that play, but I have seen the video replay of that one, and it's almost as if he gifted the space by pulling his legs apart enough for the ball to squirt right through, and Bush had no chance on it. When Larenowitz hits a ball that hard, the goalie's not going to get to the side that he's not protecting.
Right, right.
And he was victimized by it. He looked dumbfounded by it. You know, it's just a bad play there. I think you got to say Dawkins was pretty responsible for just not holding his ground on that one. And wow, Wando misses one. Their man down. Wando misses two really. After they already gone a man down, a gilt edge in the 6-yard box. You talked to Chris about that. I know.
Well,
you have a somewhat response to that.
We both that did. I couldn't help myself. You know, it's because you walk into a locker room and. Especially with Wando, because he's such a level-headed guy, and it just kills me to. So I felt I needed to add a little bit of levity to things, and listeners, you will hear what that's about later. But anyway,
I think my last thoughts on this game are: the Quakes did everything to win, and a very unfortunate call against Sam Cronin just sort of took that away from them. They played well when they were a man down. I mean, I think a lot of teams tend to do that. They tend to rally when they go a man down. But, this team has such a small margin for error. Being a man down just made it just too difficult for them. Maybe Wando nets that ball, and we're talking about the amazing draw or something. But, the bottom line comes down to that, this team can't afford those sorts of situations coming up, whether it's of their own doing or not, to collect points. And now, 10 games remaining, slipping dangerously below the reasonable level to get back into the playoffs, the playoff picture. Yeah, they're not mathematically eliminated, but mentally, or what's happening?
Yeah, well, I think that picture will be quite clear by the time they make their next appearance here at Buckshaw, because they're on the road for quite a while, and that might actually be a good thing. It's either going to bring them together or kick them in the head, and we'll see what the result is of that road swing. But
well, Jay, there was one bit of silver lining news that I heard tonight.
Oh, what's that?
In fact, I guess it came out in the pregame show. David Cavill was talking about the Quakes bringing a player in. There's all this hubbub about the summer transfer window, which closes Monday.
Well, I've heard so much about Cesc Fabregas possibly leaving Arsenal. Could that possibly be it?
No, but there may be the same number of vowels in the name. I'm not sure about the details. We're still trying to find that out. But Frank Gallup does talk about that in the post-game press conference. He was willing to talk about there's an international player coming in who is supposed to help the attack. I think Cavill's comments were that he's not going to be a DP, but that if he does well, they would like to keep him here. Kind of like they had Giovanni for a while and decided it wasn't worth it. This guy's coming in with that same intent. I'm going to connect
to... puede ayudar el equipo.
Sí, claro. ¿Dónde está...
that's, el puerto de baño?
Yeah, we don't go there, but
so yes, yeah, so you were about to say.
Well, yeah, they haven't revealed the name of this player. They wouldn't drop us enough hints that we could figure it out. But with the window closing on Monday, we're going to find out pretty soon, and so that's something Quake fans can look at. This is a guy that depending on how long it takes him to integrate in with the team, maybe a week. Frank's not shy about throwing guys in the day they show up.
That's true.
Simon Doggins being an example of that. Mm-hmm. He is in form. He's playing right now, which tells you, gives you a hint of what league he might be in, South America. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to see the identity. I'm sure we'll hear something in the next 48 hours or so. So,
okay.
Is it too little, too late? I think that was a question I heard a lot about, being asked tonight. Yeah, they're not mathematically eliminated, but, mentally... That's the question that has to be asked, and I think with these being road games coming up, I think three in a row, that's going to be the measure of a team, whether they they feel they're still in it or not. Do they focus enough to do what they need to do on the road?
Yeah. Well, I do want to say one thing before we go to the interviews, and that is to put a little attention on the Quakes' performance tonight, because I think they were doing enough to win. They got a good goal. They weren't necessarily controlling play, but they were limiting Colorado's chances. The PK, I think, was a harsh call. Certainly the red card was.
Mm-hmm.
But the Quakes, especially after they scored that goal, it really put a spring in their step, and they really looked like they were capable of playing level with Colorado, if not dominating them at times. And I think it's easy to overlook that in light of everything that happened after that goal and some of the calls that the referee made. But there were some positives out there, and it's really going to be a test of their resilience mentally to see, because this is obviously, when you're in the midst of a 10 game winless streak, you're already feeling like the deck is stacked against you before you get out there. And certainly for them to, once again, get up after getting that goal, only to be slammed back down to earth by, some questionable calls and things like that, it's really going to test their patience and their resilience and their commitment. But I hope for their sake that, they can get a couple results that help them, because, it's a long season without... If they're essentially eliminated at this point, then... it's just going to be a miserable existence for them for the next couple months. So.
Well, they're only 15 points behind Colorado now, so.
Right, but.
Throw in a 10-game win streak to end the season, and things look pretty good.
That does look pretty good. But they're closer than that to a playoff spot, that's the big thing.
I say that laughingly, but, this team matched up very well with a team that now has 40 points in the league. It's not as if Colorado came in here and beat the Jesus out of the Quakes. It was very much a battle from both sides, mm-hmm. like you mm-hmm. described. And if the Quakes play like this every night over the last 10 games, minus the record,
right?
good things can happen, you know. It's, you know, it's, a lot of things have to go their way at this point. But, you know, they have their job in front of them, which is to secure points in games and multiple points, not just draws at this point.
Yeah.
And see how the other stuff plays out. You know, they control their destiny in that respect. So, interviews?
Interviews, yes.
Interviews.
Let's start off with Earthquake's head coach, Frank Yama.
Why don't we start with how you guys keep bringing somebody in?
Yes.
What can you tell us?
Not much. Ask John. He's done all the paperwork with somebody, but until he's actually here, we don't know. So, but there should be someone coming in for sure, yeah.
Is it too late?
No. How do you think we played tonight? I thought we played well. For some reason, we're not getting the breaks, but we can't give up. I thought we played well tonight, very well. We're well enough to win, for sure.
Did you see on the red card at the same time?
Nothing. I don't think he even touched them. So, you know, we're getting some bad calls. So that's all I can say about it. I mean, I can't comment on it.
And that play obviously changed the way the game was played up to that point. Were you pleased with what you were saying?
Yeah, very happy. Even after the red card, we played well. So, you know, you get up to a point where you kind of run out of gas in the last little bit where they come into the game, but other than that, I thought we outplayed them and were the better team. But it's no good, you know, we don't get any points. It's, you know, it doesn't mean anything.
Obviously, they equalized before Sam was red carded. Is it disappointing for the fourth time during the stretch you guys haven't been able to hold on to it? How disappointing?
Well, it's not even a handball. He's sliding and it hits his backhand. That rule just drives me nuts. It's Jason Hernandez about to touch the ball. It's ridiculous. So, you know, we're just getting screwed all the time. So, I'm not happy about it. Ruined the game.
You feel like you would have... You feel good about your chances?
Yeah.
If not?
Yeah. Wanda could have scored four. Didn't. That's the problem. You can't fault the man for getting in the spots to score. Brave. Good chances. It just, you know, I'm sick of standing there trying to explain it when it's out of my hands. What's going on? We did well enough to win the game. Referee decided differently, and here we are. You know, I'm trying to explain a loss, which is shouldn't be.
I assume the guy you're bringing in is going to help you guys in the attack.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to swear.
Clean that up.
Thanks. Beep.
Is this international or?
Correct.
Okay, it's not someone from the league.
No, not from our league.
Okay. So it'll take 2 weeks to get through the ITC.
Well, we don't know, but you know, usually it's never a day, that's for sure. But you know, we're hoping as quickly as we can get him acclimatized, get him in. You know, but it's such a short window with Alan going down. You know, I thought because Alan's a good player,
right.
He would have been helped
right.
us tonight, but.
Right.
You know, as soon as you said I got up surgery, I said, okay. You know, you're not in panic mode, but you don't have a ton of time. John was, you know, trying his best scouting, and all of a sudden it's like, well, we've got to move.
So. This player is match fit right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, as far
he's
as
he's been
you know.
Playing. He's been yeah. he's playing. Yeah.
Is it, you know, making a move like this? I mean, first of all, as you said, the team looked better than it had in a long time, really, for the sustained periods.
Mm-hmm.
A signing like this, is it the kind of thing with Giovanni that maybe it'll give them the boost that even though 7-10 on the road, well, it seems like you need to win 5 of those?
Yeah, yes, it does. I think that. I think the team right now is pretty confident. I thought that they, under bad circumstances tonight, played well. Even after the red card, I thought, you know what? Wanda could have scored 2 after the red card. Really should have. And here we are. We could be winning 3-2 with 10 men. And, you know, it's one of our greatest performances. But we didn't. So, you know, it's hard to explain why. Sport is cruel, and especially soccer. So we'll just keep going, you know, and the player that's going to help us hopefully helps us, but it does take a while to acclimatize a foreign player into our league, but hopefully has an immediate impact.
Earthquake's goal scorer, Joey Jurtsen.
All right, Joey, back to your scoring ways. How does it feel to pull one in?
It was good. I mean, I think I was in a good part of the night. We played good tonight, but didn't get any breaks. But, you know, that goal was all because of one that had a good run. I was just back there picking up the garbage.
Can you walk us through it a little bit?
Well, I was on the backside. Me and Combi had, you know, he made a run across the field. I took his place, and once they whipped it in from that side, like I said, Wando, you know, made a good run. It was, the ball was for him, and off of the deflection, I was just there to pick up the scraps.
How do you think the team played tonight? I mean, you feel as if they deserve better than the result that we got?
I mean, it's, you know, it's not going to be easy anytime, but I think tonight we worked hard as a team. There were stretches where, you know, we controlled it. Even when we went down 10 men, I think we can control the ball well and still had some good scoring chances. You know, I don't know what it's going to take for some luck to go our way and maybe get some breaks, but tonight I think we played well and it was unfortunate for us.
Thanks, Jeff.
We caught up with goalkeeper John Bush.
I mean, it's never too late. Until you're eliminated, it's always a chance, you know? And we just got to pick ourselves up again and dust ourselves off and, start preparing to go to L.A.
Do you guys have a voodoo doll somewhere that a referee's just kicking pins in?
No, it's just very disappointing, you know. I mean, that's all I can say anymore. You know, it's we as players, you know, this is how we put food on our table for our families. This is how we pay our bills. And again, tonight the game was changed by somebody other than the players. You know, and it's, I mean, how many times can you say it? Let the players dictate the game. You know, if Colorado wins, then Colorado, you know, but it's very frustrating when I see the boys in front of me and what they put into the game tonight and how well we played, even with 10 men, that we come out 2-1 in that game and lose. Very disheartening, you know. Like I said, we're the ones that at the end of the year, you know, the general managers and coaches and whatnot, you know, decide if it want you or not. You know, our jobs are on the line each and every weekend, you know. And it's disappointing. I feel bad for every single player in this locker room who put it in tonight. Because it's the same old story, you know. It's getting old. I thought we played great tonight. Absolutely fantastic, I thought, you know. Not to take anything away from Colorado. I'm not trying to do that at all, you know. They're defending champs for a reason. But let the players dictate the game, plain and simple.
Looking on the second goal, you expected that maybe Simon was going to get a foot to that.
It unfortunately went right through Simon's legs, you know. And that's one thing, you know, it's just, it happens, as they say, you know. I mean, that's why you have a wall there to help you out, you know, because you know with Lorentowicz, he's just going to hit it hard. He's not going to bend it. He's not, you know, he's going to hit it hard, you know, and I take care of my side and hope the wall takes care of the other side, you know, and unfortunately on a different night, you know, it doesn't go in maybe, you know, but, you know, that's the way the ball's bouncing for us right now, you know. Like I said, we just got to pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off, but I'm proud of the boys tonight. They put a hell of an effort in.
Next, we have Sam Cronin.
You know, on the red card, what was your take on that play?
I don't want to get myself in trouble.
I mean, did you feel like you caught him with? I mean, it seemed like you had both feet in there, not necessarily in a dangerous way, but I mean, did you feel like you caught him with both feet, or was it?
I checked the video, I guess.
Frank said you guys are bringing someone in internationally for, I guess, probably the last 9 matches, depending on how fast the ITC has turned around. Is it too late? Is there still time?
No, there's still time, yeah, until we're mathematically out of it. We're still in it, so got a lot to play for. Just got to get started on Monday, back to work.
Have you ever had an experience like this at any level where
no matter, like, tonight you guys looked really good, and yet, you know, this dark cloud keeps following you.
Yeah, no, it's really unfortunate. It seems every game there's a break that goes wrong for us, so it's been tough, but...
First Bobby gets bit, now you get bit.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, we have to keep working as a team. We're going to keep fighting until they tell us to stop.
The team seemed to catch a lot of breaks last year. It was very resilient at times. You know, is there anything you can rally from this kind of game where things were taken away from you guys over these last 9 games?
Yeah, it's just tough, man. It's tough to have games like this where... But you do play well, and you're feeling good coming in half, and just unlucky to be tied at halftime because we deserve to be up a goal, and then we just don't pull it off towards the end. I let the team down with the red card. Can't do that. But we're going to keep fighting. We'll do the same down in LA.
You guys have had 4 leads during this winless stretch and haven't been able to hang on to any of them. How disappointing is that? And how disappointing, especially given the way that they equalized in this one?
Yeah, I mean, you always want to preserve 1-goal lead, so you got to do better with that.
And the last member of the Earthquakes, Chris Wondolowski.
I mean, you guys kept battling, and you had some great chances, and it seems like this season nothing's just going your guys' way.
Yep. I mean, to be honest, I'm a little lost for words. You know, it's just a shame. I thought I did well. Missed that chance. That chance is a game changer right there, and that one will hurt.
So you guys obviously haven't been able to see out a lead in this winless streak, otherwise it wouldn't be a winless streak. Do you feel like if not for a handball, that you guys could have won this game? Would have won this game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, that kind of turned it also. Thought we played one of our best halves all year. Keeping the ball, I think, you know, they hit the post real early. But other than that, I think that was literally their only chance. And, you know, to be honest, it wasn't even a chance until it became a PK.
Frank said you guys aren't going to bring someone in internationally for the last probably 9 matches, depending on when his ITC gets processed. Is that too late?
To you, mathematically, out of this playoffs, never too late. You know, it's just one of those things. We've had so many injuries, so many guys. I mean, you know, we have Akari playing forward. That's definitely not his position. Just shows kind of where we are right now. So, you know, it's never too late until mathematically out of it.
Was there any thought given, because you guys were down so many forwards, to starting your bobblehead alongside that forward? Or do you think his lack of aerial game is such a...
I think that bobblehead finishes that one in the second half from Joey Jurtson. I think that's a sitter. I think that's he's all over that. So maybe we should have...
Well, he's got that flexible neck thing going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. He's got that.
That snap header. Yeah.
He's got that one.
That's a good point.
I mean, Frank obviously mentioned with Allen out and with Simon not starting, like Monday night here, it can't all be on you. Do you, and he did say that whoever they're bringing in is an attacking player. Do you feel like that would help?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I had a chance today inside the 6-yard box. Got to finish that. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, how much pressure's on you. They're all watching you. It doesn't matter. You got to finish that. And I didn't, and let the team down.
What's your mindset forward to finish off the season strong?
Get a win next week. That's all we can do. It's all we're looking for, and try to get 3 points whenever we go out there. We got a bunch of road games. I still think we're a very good road team and can still battle and fight and still pull some out.
Okay, and finally, from the Colorado Rapids head coach, Gary Smith.
It was one of only very few forays into our half of the field in those opening exchanges in the main. We started well, showed a nice edge to our game, kept some decent possession, and you know, credit to them, the first chance they get, it was a good delivery, good run, and then, you know, nice bright finish from Gudjohnsen, who's waiting on those second phase balls. But there's still some nice chances for us, and I would have been very disappointed if we not got in 11 turns. Caleb hits the post. We had a penalty shout turned down before we got the penalty that I haven't seen a replay of, but I thought it was very tight, you know, on another day I've seen him given. So, you know, to go in on even terms at the break probably didn't do us justice. And then the sending off made a difference. And after a sticky 10 minutes, we got on top. And of course, that second goal was important. It opens the game up even more. They've got to come and really force the issue. And there were one or two moments where, with a bit more clinical, we might have just extended our lead.
Gary, was that red deserved?
I'd like to see it again. The referee was in a very good spot, that's all I'll say. The ball looked like it was there to be won. Now, whether or not it went over the top of the ball, I have to believe that. The referee was in a much better position than I was, so, you know, I've got to take his call on that.
How good was it to see Matt Kanji making his first appearance?
Yeah, great. You know, it's been a long, hard run. He's worked extremely hard to get to this point. He's had a number of build-up games and shown really well. And after a long, long layoff, it's difficult for players not just to get themselves back into the right shape and the right mental place, but to find some form. And he's done really well. I honestly hope, and there's no reason not to believe, that in the coming weeks we've added games in the CONCACAF, we've got a tight form schedule, that he's going to have a nice impact. He's got fit at a good time, and he's in a good physical place at the right time.
And how important is it to get 3 wins going into Champions League when all of a sudden you're going to be testing your squad depth and playing a lot of games?
It's nice to break that 40-point barrier. I know in the past 40 points has been a magic number. It won't be this year, of course, with the added schedule. But just to break through that and, you know, now 5 out of 7 wins, 3 wins on the spin. We haven't done that since the start of the season. We're still a side that are trying to cope with the loss of a very influential player. And, of course, one or two others that have not made the trip for different reasons. But, you know, we're slowly but surely finding some form again. And I see no reason why that can't continue into the coming weeks, although you rightly say we've got a very tough schedule. So all these bodies back, some points on the board and another win's great.
Now, Jay, we also had that quote from John Doyle. And there it was. John's not willing to speak about the new acquisition yet, but it's he says it's coming, so.
Yeah.
A very short comment.
Yes. That'll probably be Sunday, certainly Monday at the very latest, so.
Check back at Centerline Soccer for all the news.
That's right. In the meantime, I think we can just go ahead and wrap up. Who's next on the schedule, Mr. Jonas?
There's a, I guess you would call it a rivalry game, Avi. The Los Angeles Galaxy, they play down in the southern half of the state. Quakes have an away game next Saturday. I know a lot of fans are heading down there looking forward to that road trip. That's always a good one. Game at the Home Depot Center, the usual 7:30 time. And we will be here at Buckshot. No, we won't. We will give you all, you know, all the updates from that game via Twitter, with or without existential despair.
I think with at this point.
Perhaps with. You know, check back during the week as, you know, I'll be out at training to see how the team is getting set up for that trip down to LA.
Yeah. And since this is the sibling podcast of the Quakes cast, I'll mention that you can follow Rob at Robert Jonas on Twitter.
Here. And Jay Hips at Jay Hips on Twitter.
Yes, we're both very original when it comes to Twitter handles.
We got in early. I think that was the key.
Actually, that's true. Although, to be fair, there's only one other J-Hips that I know of in the whole U.S., so...
You try getting the name Jonas in any internet thing right now. It's not easy, so...
That's a very good point. So that's a tribute to your early adopter status, I think.
Staying on the crest of the wave of social media.
Okay. Well, I think on that note, because otherwise we're just going to make bad jokes or something. Not that we haven't already done that. But anyway, I'm Jay Hibbs.
And I'm Robert Jonas.
Damn it, the bobblehead just misses its cues all the time. Anyway, yes, thanks for listening, and we'll catch up to you after the next home game.